Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
I love the way that song speaks those words that you can do all things but fail. That with Him, all things are possible. And just that notion that whatever battle you're facing, that you can live with this confidence that He can and will overcome. And as we were praying this morning, the word that kept coming to my heart was peace. That I had this just sense as I prayed for you this morning, as we prayed for you, that for quite a few of us today, there's some kind of battle going on. It could be a battle like out there, like with circumstances in our lives. In other cases, it could have to do with even a battle inside. Maybe it's an emotional battle. Maybe it's something of a spiritual nature. But I just had this real sense that God wanted to say to you today that I give you my peace today. That I am fighting for you. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus is interceding for us right now. He's doing battle in the Spirit for you. Because He wants you to enter into the victory He has for you, but most of all, that you can know His peace that surpasses all understanding. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to just, before we go any further, I want to just pray. And if you would be one this morning that would just say, God, I want to welcome that peace right now. You can just agree with this prayer. If you want to even open your hand up before God right now, you can do that as well. But right now, God, I pray. And I welcome you, Lord. Thank you that your presence is here right now. And we thank you for the promise of your word, Lord, that you are victorious, that you are fighting for us. And right now, I just pray, God, that you would just do, Lord, a work of pouring out your peace and your love on each heart in this room. Whatever distraction maybe we came in with today, we just lay it at your feet right now. God, we surrender. Lord, we surrender some of those enormous challenges, the concerns and the fears of our life. Lord, we come and we declare today, our trust is in the God who never fails. Lord, that you are victorious. You're fighting for us, and we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise? Can we also thank our team this morning as well? Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, good to see you all this morning. If you're here for the first time, I'm Abe. I'm the lead pastor here. And just amazing, an amazing thing to get to worship God together. And I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to Romans 8. Is where we're going to be for part of our time this morning. And as well, you can pull out your message notes. And if you are just joining us, over the last couple of weeks, we started this journey together, this message series that we've called Why Not? And we are, with this series, it's not just a message series, that really it's a church-wide spiritual growth campaign, we're calling it, but even more, it's a journey together that we're saying, God, we want to press into you, we want to link arms and grow together in this as well, because we want to become people that rise up in faith with a mentality that in the way that we pray, in the way that we live, in the way that we dream, we want to have this mentality that says, why not? We want to have this faith that with all that we are, we want to live with this confidence and this awareness that He is a God with whom all things are possible. And so last week, and really these first couple weeks, we're talking about overcoming the hindrances to that happening. We talked last week about unlocking unbelief in our lives. And that if we're going to be people that indeed become why not kind of people. We've got to unlock unbelief by adjusting the way we see God and the way we see ourselves, and really becoming people that are anchored in his love. And as we do that, again, we'll unlock unbelief. But today we're going to talk about defeating fear. And so last week, again, we talked about that unbelief, and how I used the analogy that unbelief could leave you looking from the outside in. That I used the analogy of being at a house. I was house sitting. I was locked out. I'm face pressed up against the window, seeing what was inside, seeing what was possible, and yet not being able to get to it because I was locked out. And so in that same way, again, we talked about how unbelief will keep you locked out from the life of possibility with God. And so if that's true about unbelief, that unbelief will keep you locked out, what I want us to know about fear today is that fear will lock you up. That when it comes to becoming people that are able to experience the life of possibility, we've got to take fear seriously. We've got to do whatever we need to do to defeat it in our lives. Now, we all face fear, right? As part of humanity, we've all faced fear in our lives. And whether it's maybe for some that you have fear regarding the economy, going, man, what's going to happen if the economy goes down? Is it going to affect my business? Is it going to affect this or that in my life? Maybe for others, you fear something that has to do with physical health. Maybe you have chronic pain and you're going, am I going to have to live with this pain forever? Or maybe you have a loved one that's facing cancer and you're wondering, is the treatment going to work in their life? Maybe you have kids or a family and you're concerned about a situation with the family and you're wondering, what's going to happen? Are the decisions that are made, are they going to be good decisions? Are they going to result in good things for my kids or for my family? Maybe for another, you're like me, I've had this before, where you're going, man, things are so good right now. My fear is that what's going to happen, right? Things are so good right now. What's going to happen? What's going to make it all change? And so, again, whatever fear that you have faced or are facing right now, we want to take it seriously. But as we begin, I want to ask you to just think about this question with me. Do you remember the first time you were ever afraid? Think about the first time that you were afraid, that you felt and experienced fear. I remember being about 3 or 4 years old. I was at my family's home in Forest Grove, Oregon, a little suburb of Portland, Oregon. And this one evening in particular, a thunder and lightning storm started. And I remember sitting in my living room, and I can vividly see the image in my mind today, lightning striking in my front yard. And I remember in those moments just being gripped with fear, my heart beating, and yet shortly after that, my parents sent me to bed. And I remember trying to come up with every reason in the world not to stay in bed, right? I'm really, really thirsty. I need more water. Don't you want me to hydrate? You know, can I come read the Bible for the next 3 hours with you, Dad? You know? And eventually going to sleep. But I remember going out. I kid you not, as a child, the next morning when I woke up, I actually walked out the front door and looked to see where the crater would be in the front yard from the lightning strike. Right? It just had this impact deeply on me. And so again, I want us to think in those terms, because what I want us to recognize is this. No one had to teach me to be afraid. No one had to teach you to be afraid. Fear is part of this life. And yet what I want us to understand this morning is this. While fear is part of this life, God did not give us fear. Fear did not come from God. In fact, here's how Paul says it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He said, for he has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but he has given us of power, love, and of sound mind. So God has not given us fear. Now, I've heard people through the years say things like this about fear. They'll say, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. And you know, you see those little cute little signs in the home decor stores, and they'll say things like that. fear not. And that's fine, that's good. But I would suggest today that I don't necessarily agree with that statement that fear is the opposite of faith. What I would submit to you today is this, that fear is simply faith in the wrong things. Fear is putting your faith in the wrong things. And what happens is, the longer we put our faith in the wrong things, what it begins to do is it forms somewhat of a bondage in our life. It binds us up. It's like every time you put your faith in the wrong thing, it adds another link to the chain that wraps around us and keeps us in bondage and keeps us from entering into the life of possibility with God, that keeps us from dreaming big, that keeps us from praying bold, that keeps us from engaging even in those times of challenge in front of us, that instead of boldly entering into them, we shrink back in fear. Why? Because we're bound up in fear. We're putting our faith in the wrong things. How many have seen the movie back in the 90s, What About Bob? Yeah. I know I'm pulling back a while, but this was a movie that was kind of a family favorite of ours. But Bob, you can see there, is bound up on a couple of occasions. He's bound up in his quest to overcome all the fear in his life. But when you make fear and put your faith in the wrong things, again, it has this bondage effect. In fact, if you are going through the devotional, you know that this week we're focusing on fear. And by the way, next week I'm excited because we're going to begin talking about how to step out into the what next. Now that we in the first couple weeks are talking about how to overcome certain hindrances, now we're going to start talking about venturing into greater things. But in this devotional, I wrote these words. I said, fear is the foe of your future. Fear is the foe of your future. In other words, fear is your enemy. Fear is your enemy. I know a lot of Christians, a lot of people, they talk a lot about the enemy, Satan. And while he is real, and the Bible tells us that, and yes, he wants to oppose everything of God and his kingdom and his work in our lives, I would suggest to you today that Satan is not your biggest enemy. Fear is your biggest enemy. And here's why. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus, through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, he already defeated the power of the enemy over your life. That when you become a Christ follower, he can't touch the plans and the purposes that God has for you. And so as you follow him, as you follow God, as you put your faith in him, I would suggest that when you give way to things like fear, all that does is give the enemy something to latch on to use against you. It becomes a tool in your life that then gives him a place to hold on to and to then begin to thwart God's plans for your life and mine. I love how Paul describes this in another way in Romans 8, where I had you turn just a moment ago. So you can look here with me. If you don't have your Bible, these verses will be on the screen as well. But in Romans 8, starting in verse 15, here's how Paul describes this overcoming of fear. He says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. In fact, that verbiage there has to do with bondage. So you're no longer in bondage to fear, he's saying. He said, instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. So what Paul is saying here is that when you put your faith in him, when you make your commitment to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I believe that you are the Son of God. That it welcomes the Spirit of God into your life. And now you are adopted into the family. And you have this relationship to, first of all, know this, that his Spirit breaks the power and the bondage of fear in your life. And that because you know you are his child, that you know you are his son, that you know you are his daughter, that now you can live with this hopeful expectancy that you're going to inherit the blessings of God. And that no matter what life throws at you, he talks about that he's going to be with you in the good things, and the inheritance you receive is going to be with you through the suffering and the challenges in this life. But you can know this, that as you call out to him as your father, that fear has no authority or place in your life. That you belong to him. And so, fear is faith in the wrong things, and God wants us to put our faith in him as our father. Now, you might be sitting there and you're still going, well, what are you talking about? The wrong things. Let me make this a little more specific for us then. I would say that fear happens when we put our faith in the what ifs. Fear happens when you and I put our faith in the what ifs. Now, like I said, we are born into fear. We didn't have to learn it. And here's where I get that from. I'm going to give us a little bit of a biblical history of fear here over the next few minutes. When you turn to Genesis 3, you don't have to turn there right now, but when you look in your Bibles at Genesis 3, verse 10, it's right after Adam and Eve have disobeyed God. They've eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so they're now hiding in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible tells us they're covering themselves with fig leaves. And they start to play hide-and-go-seek with God. So God's walking through the garden. Adam, Eve, where are you? Which, you're never going to win hide-and-go-seek with God, are you? They played along for a little bit. And then Adam's words in Genesis 3, verse 10, he says, I was afraid, so I hid. I was afraid, so I hid. The first outcome of sin in humanity is fear. We were born into fear, and it causes us to hide. It causes us to, under the fear of what if and what might happen, we have these responses to fear. So, when you look in the life of Moses, for instance, Moses had murdered an Egyptian slave master who was mistreating a Jewish slave. And Moses, while he was raised in the house of Pharaoh, he had been discovered as a baby in a basket by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was a Jew. And as he saw this mistreatment happening, he went and he murdered the Egyptian slave master. And then all of a sudden got afraid as word started to travel that he had done this. And so he ran and he hid on the backside of the desert. Right? He's afraid. And while he's there, though, he has this encounter with God. God comes to him and he says, hey, Moses, I'm going to send you to set my people free from their slavery in Egypt. And you're going to take them to the promised land. So think about how Moses is hearing that. He's going, wait a second. Oh, great. You're going to send me back to the place where I'm wanted for murder to lead my people who don't even really see me as one of their people because I was raised in the land of Egypt. So this is not a win-win situation for me. And so he begins to come up with all these things, these resistance statements. And one of them in Exodus 4:1, he says, what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if? Again, often when we are faced with fearful situations, when we're faced with impossibility, things that seem enormous in front of us, we will often use this realm of what if. We put our faith in the what if, and it keeps us from all that God has for us. Fear happens when we put our faith in the what ifs. But for a lot of us, you may be even sitting here right now and you're going, well, I don't know. Do I really struggle with fear? I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky person. I'm a tough guy or I'm a tough woman. But what I want to do, again, I believe that every single one of us wrestle with fear in different ways. And you see it throughout the scriptures. And so what I want to do, I want to help us define fear in our lives. Because here's the thing. You can't defeat what you won't define. You can't defeat what you won't define. If you don't have clarity about the enemy you're actually wrestling with, it's going to be very hard to defeat the enemy of fear in your life. And so I don't want that for you. My prayer this morning is that you would be someone that's able to defeat fear and the power of it in your life once and for all today. And even over the next few days, that as you begin to live in this truth and as you live in the gift of freedom that God would give you today, I believe that this time right now, this week in front of you, has the opportunity to be a real defining moment for you in your life. So I want to give us a way to identify the face of fear in our life. So I'm going to give you four faces of fear today that we see throughout the scripture, just real briefly here, to help you maybe I zero in on where fear shows up in your life. So the first face of fear I want to give you today is complacency. I just mentioned Moses a moment ago. Fast forward into the book of Numbers, Numbers 13 and 14. The people of Israel have now been set free from slavery in Egypt. Now they're moving towards the promised land. Moses sends a couple of spies into Canaan, into the land that they're going to inherit as their promised land. And they're there to check it out. And so the spies go in and they see that it's beautiful. There's grapes. There's amazing things there. But then some of them also, they go, wait a second, but look, there's giants. Big, scary giants. And so they come back and they tell Moses and the people, yeah, it looks great, but there's big, scary giants that can kill us. And all of a sudden, it turns this corner from hopefulness to, in Numbers 14, the people start to freak out. They go, why did you, Moses, and why did God bring us into the desert to die? It'd be better to go back to Egypt. In fact, we'd rather just go back to Egypt right now. We were slaves there, but at least we knew where our next meal was coming from. What is that? Complacency. Rather than being someone that boldly says, God, I want to go to the place of promise you have for me, we'd say, I'd just rather play it safe. And just go. I'd rather just play it safe because I'm afraid of losing what I have. And so we stop taking risk. Complacency, that's the first face of fear. The second face of fear, avoidance. Avoidance. The armies of Israel were fighting the Philistines. In 1 Samuel 17, if you're familiar with the story, you know that these Jewish warriors were out there at the battlefield, and they're faced with some Philistine warriors, one of whom was named Goliath, a giant. And so they're all, pointing at each other. No, you go. No, you go. Paper, rock, scissors. And then David shows up and says, Why is not someone not doing something about this giant who's mocking God and mocking God's armies and God's people? But what were they doing? In the face of fear, they were avoiding the conflict, right? They were avoiding, and we do this as well, right? When we're afraid of feeling pain, we will often go the path of least resistance. We do this in our relationships, right? We do this at the restaurant. We try to smile and pretend like we're not frustrated that the waiter has not brought us our food yet, right? But we avoid conflict. Number three, the third face of fear is anxiety and control. Anxiety that really gives place to control. And so in 1 Samuel 28, King Saul, who was down at that battlefield with Goliath. Now, fast forward, David has defeated Goliath. He's become a war hero. King Saul, meanwhile, is not happy about it, and he's doing everything he can to hold on to his power. But now the prophet Samuel has died in 1 Samuel 28. And so they're facing the Philistine armies once again. Saul is scared out of his mind, but now he doesn't have the prophet Samuel who calls on God and hears God for him. Now he doesn't know what to do, so he calls a medium up and says, yeah, conjure me up some ghosts or something and, help me figure out what I should do here. And so that's what they do. The medium does abracadabra, blah, 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 blah. And guess who pops up? The ghost of Samuel, the prophet. And he says to Saul, he's like, the reason that God wanted to use you, but you continue to disobey him. You continue to take things into your own hands. You won't trust God. You won't obey him. And so that's why God's favor no longer is with you. But the face of fear here again is that when we get anxious, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know if we can control the circumstance, we try to take control ourselves like Samuel did, or like Saul did in this situation. The fourth face of fear is isolation. There's a story where the prophet Elijah has just defeated 450 prophets of Baal on a mountain. It's like the ultimate reality show, right? Prophet showdown, you know? And he gets done, and God is glorified, right? God shows up, and he leaves that mountain, and even though everyone is going, Elijah's God is the true God, let's acknowledge him, Ahab and Jezebel aren't convinced, and word travels to Elijah that they may want to kill him. And so he runs into the desert and hides under a broom tree and starts whining. What's he doing? He's isolating himself. Sometimes when we feel afraid, we isolate ourselves. We try to distance ourselves from others because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being hurt again. And so these are four faces of fear that I think we can probably at one time or another all relate with. But even for some of us, maybe one of these tends to be more of an issue than the others. And so I want us to pay attention to defining this in our lives and being able to put our finger on what is the area of fear I struggle with. Because here's the thing, what you fear the most reveals what you value the most, which is not always a bad thing, right? For some of us, our fear relates to our family, right? We want our kids to be okay. We want our spouse to be okay. We want our parents to be okay. We want the people we love to be cared for. Our resources, what we have, we're concerned about our finances or our business, right? We value those things because they're important, right? They're things often that God has given us. And so what you fear reveals, you know, what you value the most. But here's the thing. The other side of that is that what you fear the most also reveals where you trust God the least. And that's where it gets dangerous. That what you fear the most also reveals where you trust God the least. And so I want to help us define these things so that we can overcome the fear that keeps us from trusting God, so that we can become people of bold faith who say, God, why not? I know that you are able to help me overcome. God, you're able to do great and mighty miracles in my life, and I'm not going to let fear hold me back anymore. And so here's what I want to do. I want you to start to define this right now. In fact, I'm going to ask you just, if you have a pen there on your notes, if you have it there, or on your phone, wherever you're taking notes, I want you to write down, I struggle to trust God with ... and you fill in the blank. Or, yeah, I'm struggling with this area of trusting God. So write that down right now. Just this is between you, God. Let's get honest with God here in this moment. Let's get honest with him. God, here's where I'm struggling to trust you. Here's an area of where I struggle with fear. Just, you can write it down there. Now, I want to up the ante a little bit. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell him, here's the area where I struggle with. Or if you're too nervous to do it, just say, I struggle with telling my neighbor what my greatest fear is. You can just tell him that too. But I want you to turn to the person next to you. Hey, just tell them, just whisper right now. Just whisper. I love this. Whisper, 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 whisper. This is so good. See, there's something very powerful in what's happening right now even. Just in what you're doing and acknowledging that. And by the way, this is why we do life groups. This is why we make life groups a priority. We are a church that prioritizes community. We have hundreds of people in life groups right now because we know that not only is there power in embracing the word of God for yourself, but then beginning to live it out with others, that there's something powerful that begins to help us live free in the areas that we most need to. And so as we're defining this, now we want to get real practical. And so over the next few minutes, I'm going to get very practical with you, and maybe it could even seem a bit simplistic here, but my hope is that we can put our arms around how to live in victory over fear once and for all in our lives, and how to have a roadmap to live with this new sense of faith and strength and confidence in God, our Abba Father. And so the first thing that you and I need to do if we're going to be people that defeat fear is we've got to acknowledge our fear and choose to trust God anyway. We've got to acknowledge our fear and choose to trust God anyway. So it's this place where we would come to and we say, God, I'm going to get very real with you about my fear. Which is kind of a funny statement when you think about it, because God's saying, yeah, I already know. I already know your greatest fear. I already know your greatest struggle. But there's something about us acknowledging it and declaring, God, I'm going to trust you anyway, that becomes a turning point for us. David, as I've talked about him here this morning, defeated the Goliath giant. He was a victorious leader and warrior. And King Saul, who was the king at the time, became very, very jealous of David and the success he was having, the notoriety he was gaining, so much so that he put a hit out on David. If there's any reason to be afraid, right, it's that someone now puts a hit out on you. And so David runs and flees for his life. And it was during this time, though, that David penned these words in Psalm 56. He said, my adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I love that. Mere mortals. Turn to the next person next to you and say, you, mere mortal. But the phrase here that David uses is, in God whose word I praise. What he's saying is, I am elevating God's word above every other word. I'm going to eliminate the thinking of this world by looking to God and what he has to say. And so even though my enemies are in front of me, even though they are pursuing me, even though they want to take my life, David's saying, my hope is in God's word. When you process life through that mindset, it cultivates a boldness in you. It gives you this confidence that no matter what you're facing, no matter what the circumstances, that God, your word is the final word. No matter what anyone else might say, no matter what circumstances might happen that are out of my control, you have the final word. And so when you process through that, what you're doing is you're allowing the thinking of heaven to overtake the thinking of this world in your heart and in your mind. Let me tell you my fear. When I was growing up, this fear began to settle in on me, and it was the fear of not having enough. I was afraid that I would not have enough. My parents were amazing parents. They were godly parents. My dad was a self-employed shoe repairman. And I remember, especially in those early years, there were many, many evenings where the bills would be laid across the table. You could feel the stress palpably in the room. And I also knew that was probably going to work its way into my meals for that week or two. Because all of a sudden, lentil soup would be made up. And it would be a regular on the menu each night. It would be put in the fridge and then brought out for the next night. And then leftovers, we'd have leftover meals. And leftover meals became very common during those times where maybe business was a little bit down. And so much so that to this day, in fact, they offer me lentil soup at a restaurant not too recently. I started to gag a little bit, like, ugh. And to this day, I don't like to eat leftovers. You can ask my wife. I'm not a leftover. And I think it's because at a certain level, it kind of conjures up just this fear of, oh, man, that meant we don't have enough and we're not going to be okay. Are we going to be okay? The fear of not having enough. And it began to just have this grip on me. And I remember, especially in our early years of marriage, I would do everything I could. I would pour over the bills and the bank account. And, you know, even when we started our retirement account, for even to this day, I have to watch myself because I can obsess over how is this going to work out and how do I make sure this is going to be okay. And by the way, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be diligent with your bank account, with your savings account, with your retirement account. Those are all good and fine things. But we've got to be honest with ourselves. And we've got to acknowledge where has fear gotten into the equation. Because when fear gets into the equation, it corrupts my ability to really, truly trust God and have faith in what he can do in those areas of our lives. And so we want to acknowledge our fear. And choose to trust God anyway. But the second thing we want to do is seek God until he takes away our fears. Seek him until he takes away those fears. David says these words in Psalm 34. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. You seek him and you seek him and you seek him until he delivers you from the fear. Did you know that 365 times in the Bible, God says to his people, he says to us, fear not. Do you think he was trying to send us a message? That every day is a battle to defeat and overcome fear in our lives. Many of you know that Stacy and I are expecting our fourth child here in the next, really, probably 2 to 3 weeks. And we're thrilled and excited. But 7 years ago, we were actually expecting baby number four. And we were getting geared up and excited just like we are today. And yet, we were well into the pregnancy when one day Stacy went to a normal checkup and the doctor told her that there was no heartbeat. They couldn't find the heartbeat. And so they said, we want you to go to the hospital tomorrow and they'll double check and make sure. And then, you know, and then if not, we'll have to take the next steps and deliver the baby. And so I remember that whole night, I don't think we slept much at all. And the next morning, getting up and driving in the car to the hospital. And I remember those moments just not knowing what to say. And as we drove, I remember we'd, to break the awkward silence, turned on the radio, and the person on the radio said, today we introduce a new song that's never been heard before by Chris Tomlin. And it's a song, maybe you've heard it. He says, talks about that God has given us angel armies always by our side. And I remember just tears streaming down our face that God, you're with us. Nothing will we fear, that you are with us. And we went to the hospital, and sure enough, the heartbeat wasn't there. And I remember just those agonizing hours as Stacy delivered this baby that we'd never get to hear cry. We'd never get to really hold or see, experience the wonder of life. And all we have is the memory representing the little footprints that they took. And so as we, 7, 8 months ago, received the news that we were expecting a baby once again, while those moments could and should be filled with excitement, if I'm honest, we were filled with great fear. What if this happens again? What if we experience loss once again? And it was through these times where, even over the last 6 months, Stacy and I have spent time together and individually as well, just before God, worshiping him, seeking his face with this exact prayer. God, we're going to seek after you. Take the fear away. And I'm so thankful to share, while I have moments, I can tell you this, that God has been so faithful to surround us with his peace and his love. And as we've sought after him, as we've cried out to our Abba Father, that he has been brought his peace that surpasses all understanding. And you know, I love how in Jesus Calling, the author of that book, that devotional, Sarah Young, she says that we often glance at God and we gaze at our circumstances, but we need to turn that around. We need to gaze at God and just glance at our circumstances. And my hope for you this morning is that, and I want to invite you this morning into a life with God where as you gaze at him, as you seek his face, as you seek the one who created you, who loves you, who calls you by name, as you acknowledge your fear and say, God, I'm going to seek after you, that he's so faithful to be with you in your struggle, to be with you in your dream, whatever you're praying for, whatever you're calling out for, that as you seek after him, he meets you there, and the fear begins to drift away. I'm going to invite our worship teams to join me on the stage here, and I want you to just close your eyes with me for a moment. I want to pray over us this morning, and again, I believe today is a turning point for many of us in this room. Just in acknowledging this area of fear and bringing it to God. For many of us today are going to find freedom. And then for so many of us, even as we go with our life groups this week, that we're going to have the opportunity to share that here's where God is setting me free from fear. Here's where God is bringing his peace. Here's where God is healing me from some of the things that have wounded me and caused me to be afraid. So before we go any further, though, this morning, I want to just give opportunity for you to respond to him today. Because maybe for a few of us here today, we'd say, you know what, I want to be able to call out to him as Abba Father, but I know I've been far from him. I know I've been far from him, and I don't want to be far from him anymore. I want to be in relationship with God. I want to receive him into my life. I want to say yes to the gift of salvation. I want to say yes to following him with all of my heart. I want to welcome the Spirit of God to come and break the power of fear in my life. And I want to say yes to him in relationship to see that happen. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would be one that would say, that's me, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to say yes to him this morning. Amen. Yeah. Awesome. Praise God. Anyone else that would say that? Amen. Here's the next area I want to invite you to just acknowledge this morning, that maybe for some of us today we'd say, God, I want to acknowledge my fear before you today, and I'm going to seek you in it. Even this week, I'm committing to lay that fear at your feet, and I'm praying that you would meet me in that this week. Would you just lift your hand to heaven as well and say, yeah, that's me. Amen. Yeah, so many of us. Praise God. Go ahead and put your hands down. Lord, this morning, I thank you for each one in this place who has acknowledged you in one way or another. For some who have said yes to relationship with you. For others who have said, God, I'm surrendering my fear today. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that I can sense even in this room right now. That right now you're coming and you're removing fear from our hearts. Lord, you're setting us fear. You set us free from the fear that has bound us up. I pray, God, that today, that in this place, that there would be a joy that would be released as well. That, Lord, as we look to you, Lord, and as we look to our future, that we would look with a greater confidence now more than ever before to know, Lord, that you are with us. And now that we have begun to identify this fear and define it in our life, that now we can defeat it once and for all in Jesus' name. And so we give you praise, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that even in this next week, Lord, that as our eyes are on you, that you're going to show us the way. Lord, you're going to guide our steps. Lord, you're going to put people around us that we can even enlist, Lord, to link arms with us, to pray with us, to pray for us, that once and for all we can defeat fear and boldly, Lord, embrace all that's possible in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Can we just give God praise and thanks this morning and that?
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.